Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, Kirk Cousins at 1 o'clock, 10 minutes away. If you missed him in the first hour of the show today, fear not, that entire conversation re-aired for you at the top of the hour. Chris Russell hosted our post-game show yesterday afternoon. He got a chance to talk of about the game and with many of you about the proceedings. We will break it down with him coming up at about 1:30, 40 minutes from right now. We're asking you if you should feel better or worse about the Skins post blowing a 17-point lead to the worst team in football, perhaps. I say better. And Danny, one more piece of evidence I'll use about teams regularly in the league struggling to put teams away that can be pretty good. The Atlanta Falcons were up 17-0 on the Dolphins yesterday.
Yes, they were.
You know who won that game?
The Miami Dolphins.
Miami on the road. Came back 20 unanswered, beat Atlanta. The opposite was the Redskins allowing 17 points to dissipate, just like Atlanta did. But then they responded, and they were resilient. And Cousins made some big, he made a scramble, some big throws. They got down the field. Vernon Davis made a huge play in the passing game. Atlanta couldn't make those plays. When they lost momentum, and by the way, they were at home against the worst team as well, it was lost for good. The Redskins recaptured it. I like that resilience, so I'm giving them the credit and tipping my cap and saying the Kerrigan sack, the Ioannidis sack, the Fuller interception, they finished. That's hard to do when you've got nothing going your way, as Atlanta proved yesterday. I feel better about them.
I still feel a little bit worse. It's not dramatic. I'm not coming in here what was me, but I guess it's my own fault. I'm a victim of my own expectations where I said, hey, this team is pretty good. I realize they're pretty much the same group as last year with maybe a slightly better defense. They still can't run the ball, even against a team as bad as San Francisco. I know that they've got a bunch of first-round talent in that front seven, but not to the tune of 2 yards per game for your running backs, please. Be able to run the football at some point. Gain a yard when you have to at some point. They really struggle there. The idea that you could let a backup quarterback who, you know, by all accounts isn't going to be particularly good, and we're celebrating him like he's the second coming this morning, march back into that game with a bonehead penalty and inability to stop some people, and with all the injuries and the like, it's hard to feel the level of confidence that maybe you felt in the preceding couple of weeks heading into the bye week. I get your point. They deserve credit for finishing and winning. I'm not taking any of that away and would never do that. But I guess ultimately, feeling about their chances going forward, you kind of have to think, if you're kind of in my camp, that, you know what, they're probably not quite ready to really start competing for divisional stuff and maybe for, you know, advancement in the playoffs.
I just don't look at it that way. I don't think the league's linear. 2 weeks ago, they played the best team in football, and they should have beaten them if Josh Doctson makes a catch. So that week, they were good enough. Now this week, they're not anymore because they didn't play San Francisco that well. I think it's a week-to-week matchup-based league. They're going to be up and they're going to be down like most of the teams in the league are. This was a week where they found a way to win. It's, as Joe Gibbs always used to say, hard to win up here. Danny, what do people think? 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Kyle in Fairfax. Kyle, better or worse after the win yesterday?
Hey, guys. I think worse. Yes, I think it's a better team, but week five off your bye week, that last drive, that bomb to Garcon, and then the Aldrich Robinson catch for the touchdown before the last drive, week five mulligans are not excusable. And those are week one mistakes. This is week five against the 49ers. It's unacceptable at this point in the season. You have the Eagles, Cowboys, Seahawks coming up 2 out of 3 on the road. So I don't see them improving based on the way they're playing. The big concern I have, though, is I know Jordan Reed is hurt, but where is he? We need him so badly.
That's a great point, Kyle. Thanks for the call. That's a really smart observation. Take umbrage, though, quickly with his other point on defense, the long touchdown, saying you can't have that in week five. You had a couple rookies who haven't been on the field together communicating on that play. So the idea that that can't happen or that it's week five doesn't matter. It was play number one effectively for Fabian Moreau in that situation in his career. It was game number one for him playing down in and down out opposite Quentin Dunbar, by the way. If that was Norman and Breland and Swearinger and Nicholson, your starting four back there, and that happened, then I could match your level of anger. I don't have any anger. That's going to happen with kids on the field because of injuries. John just tweeted me, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for DR, and he says, good, meaning he feels better, he feels good. One touchdown came on a turnover that was not true, by the way. Seven of their points should not have happened because it wasn't a fumble.
Totally fair.
Another came on a coverage bust by two rookies. Fundamentals are sound. I actually think that's a pretty good point.
Let's go to Mustafa in Bristow. Mustafa, better or worse after yesterday?
Honestly, I feel worse, if not the same, because if you know something about us, if you've been a fan long enough, is even when you're up 9 or 50 in the fourth quarter, you're sitting there with your fingers crossed because you're like, oh, we know we're going to throw this out somehow. That's the only thing that always gets me about this team. When you missed the extra point, I was like, uh-oh. But here's the other thing. Why did Jay Gruden take a timeout when San Francisco, with no timeout, was about to hit with a delay of game penalty, and then we took a timeout? Can't we please hire someone? I'll do it. To be in charge of clock management, to know when and when not to take timeouts, and when to run plays and when not to run plays.
Thank you, buddy. I brought that up earlier, GP. That was baffling to me. And again, on the broadcast, I thought they did a terrible job of addressing that as the play clock was going down to zero. They were talking about something else, about like what to expect here. Like, I need someone to explain to me what the hell happened. Now, if it was the Redskins only had 10 guys on the field or something bizarre was about to happen.
Well, that was the drive after the miscommunication led to a 45-yard touchdown. So maybe they just weren't getting a call properly and they needed to sort something out.
Yeah, who knows? The play clock had expired, but they were like, no, the Redskins saved the 49ers there. That was baffling. Let's sneak in one more here. Let's go to Troy and Alexandretta. What's up, buddy?
Gentlemen, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, man.
All right, get you out the side of the story real quick. The Redskins, I think they did okay, barring the injuries that they had, the whole nine. But understand, 49ers are hurt. I love to watch the Redskins. Born and raised here, but I'm a Niners fan, so I'm going to give you my side of it. Niners are hurt as well. We lost a stalwart on our defense this week, which I still don't understand, but I see what's happening. They're in a whole cleansing. Carlos Hyde would not be there next year. That's one thing. They're cleaning house. You saw the two rookie running backs that they brought in and let them, you know, take over the game. T.J. Beathard, and I would ask you all, can we start the protest and the rally? I've been saying it since the draft. Kirk Cousins will not be a 49er. He won't be. We have our quarterback. Nobody thought nothing of Kirk Cousins when he was drafted. You were ready to trade him away for a box of fish sticks.
I was, yeah, you're
so
right.
Can we please,
if Kirk Cousins is not a 49er, Troy, it's because you draft a guy in the top five, not because C.J. Beathard's the dude. I mean, he might be. To make that decision after a game yesterday off the bench is ridiculous. Let's wait and see how he plays.
I was fairly unimpressed with Beathard at Iowa in the couple games that I saw. But again,
I'm
not a pro scout.
I thought he stunk at Iowa. Could not believe that he was drafted where he was. But he had a good game yesterday, so
it was
good
impressive.
For him. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Kirk Cousins is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.